Sex is one of humanity's greatest sources of pleasure. So why is it still shrouded in guilt, shame, and misunderstanding? Welcome to Are You Available? I'm your host, Lana Jade, sex worker turned counselor and sexual educator, and I'm here to unpack some of those issues that have come to light from my time in the adult industry. Hey there, and welcome back to Are You Available? I'm Lana Jade, and today I am joined by Ryan James. Ryan is a well-known escort in the adult industry, and he's got a very extensive career behind him. How are you, Ryan?
I'm very good. Thanks, Lana. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I have been looking forward to talking to you because most of the things I've been talking about has been from my perspective as a female to do with sexuality and the adult industry and just generally about sex. And so I believe that there's this big misconception that women aren't viewed to be as sexual as men or don't have the same needs as men. But obviously, you've got a career based on women's sexual needs. What's your take on that?
I think that's very true. I think it is definitely a misconception that women aren't as sexual as men. I just think they might not express it as openly as men do. And they may be taught by society to not be as open because they feel like they'll be judged if they are open. And maybe they're just in touch with their sexuality in different ways. So I think whereas men might get horny and just want it right now, which I guess women can as well, with a lot of my work, it seems to be more pre-planned. So women will book me weeks, if not months in advance. So I feel like they just might put a lot more thought into how they go about exploring their sexuality.
Yeah, good point. How long have you been in the industry for? Tell us a little bit about, for those listeners that aren't familiar with you, how long have you been in the industry for and how did you start?
I left a finance job at the end of 2012 with the intent of getting into escorting and porn. I didn't feel I was quite ready to jump straight in, so I thought I would try my hand as a topless waiter for 2 months over summer, which I was not suited for at all. It was a very different experience to what I ended up doing with escorting. And then I tried stripping. I did one strip show, again, not for me. And then soon after that, I put an ad up and started escorting. I emailed some porn companies and started doing some porn scenes for companies around Australia. And then I even went to Europe. I did some porn over there. And then since then, over the past 8 or 9 years, I've been to maybe a dozen or more countries around the world escorting. I film porn in several countries. I fly around Australia on a regular basis. Not at the moment, obviously. But hopefully that will start again soon. And yeah, I've had lots of great experiences. I met lots of amazing women over the course of my career in the adult industry. And and hopefully it's going to continue for a lot longer.
Yeah, as soon as we can actually work again. Yeah. When you say the topless waitressing wasn't for you and stripping wasn't
waitering.
For you.
Waitering.
I'm sorry. Sorry. what do you mean by that? What's the difference between that and escorting?
Well, if you're working as a topless waiter, you are basically shoved into an environment where you might be surrounded by 100, maybe 200 generally drunk young women who all just want to party and want you to do dances and shows and just keep them entertained all night. So it's a very full-on experience, whereas escorting is usually one-on-one. It's far more relaxed. It's more about getting to know the person. You could be going out to dinner with someone. You could be spending some time in a hotel room or at their house. And it's just more about the conversation and getting to know each other, helping them feel at ease, figuring out what they enjoy and what they're hoping to get out of the experience. So, yeah, one's a party and one's more about getting to know someone and their desires.
Yeah, great. So that's one of the things that I've noticed is that people are kind of surprised that there's male escorts around, just as a general thing. People find it really surprising that there's a need for it. Is there a specific, you know, do you have like a general type of client? Who is the client or is it diverse?
It's surprisingly, well, not even surprisingly, it's very, very diverse in terms of age, in terms of the reasons why a woman is coming to see an escort in terms of their career. I think there's a stereotype that most of my clients would be rich eastern suburbs housewives from Sydney or Melbourne. And that's definitely not the case. I have clients who have been students. I have clients who are teachers, nurses, on disability. And I've also had clients who are lawyers and doctors and senior managers in the corporate world, but there's definitely a huge variety. And a lot of the people that are booking male escorts are women that they're not any more particularly well off than the average woman.
That's interesting. I mean, it's the same obviously with men as well. It's really diverse. Is it like a sexual need or is it an intimacy need, do you think, that is the main thing, or is it a bit of both, depending on the client?
I think it's always a mix of both. For some women, it seems to be more of a bucket list item where they just want to have that experience of what it's like to spend a couple of hours or an evening with a male escort. There are female escorts out there who will book male escorts just to see what it's like being on the other side of things. And then there are women who they might have a sexless marriage. They might have had a relationship in many years and they haven't experienced any intimacy in sometimes years, and they just want to have that in their lives again. And a lot of the time, I think some women, they might get married and have children and then they just basically give up on their sex life and just ignore the whole sexuality. And then sometime in their maybe 40s or early 50s, they feel the need to get in touch with that again. And then they want to go out exploring. And oftentimes with the permission of their husband, they'll go out and do that in a relatively safe environment where they get to call the shots.
Yeah, I actually really love that dynamic when the couples are able to communicate the sexual needs between them and come up with an arrangement where they can both, you know, explore their needs with a professional if that's the way it needs to be.
I've even seen couples where if I'm seeing a couple, it's nearly always the husband that is organizing it, and he's organizing on behalf of his wife because the experience is about her, but he will want to come along and watch. And I'll usually turn up to a hotel and or their place, and we'll have a few drinks and a chat, and just everyone will relax. And then he might just sit in the corner and watch me with his wife on the bed. And some people might think that's a strange thing, or it's like a cuckold thing, but I see a cuckolding as more of it's about putting down the other man in that situation. Whereas this is it's just a new experience where they just enjoy sharing and the variety that they can have with each other, and it doesn't always have to be just no strictly monogamous one-on-one. You can explore together and still love each other very much.
Yeah, that's what I love about couples bookings. It's like, it's not even about you, like as an escort, it's about the couple being able to enjoy another person and watching their partner enjoy somebody else, and just being like this whole really inclusive sort of experience. It's different. And
exactly. Yeah.
You've had a really extensive career. What are some of the highlights that you've had? You know, what do you really enjoy about working with women in this way?
I definitely enjoy the variety, and there are a lot of different things around escorting that I get a lot of satisfaction out of. One of the things that would bring me the most satisfaction is when I get clients who might be very nervous or shy, and maybe they've had issues in their past where they've had bad sexual experiences bordering on, say, sexual assault or abusive relationships, and they feel really uncomfortable around men, which is obviously an awful thing. But then after years or sometimes even decades, when they feel ready to reach out and start exploring again, and they try to figure out the best way to do that, and they decide to come to me. And it's a lot of responsibility, but the fact that they trust me with that, and even though they might be quite anxious at first, that I can help them relax and bring them to a point, hopefully, where they're comfortable dating again and getting back into that world, that's a really rewarding experience. And it's happened fairly often over the years, which on the one hand, you could say is a bad thing, because the fact that it happens at all, that women are going through that and they feel that they can't date without having to come to someone like me first, but when they just don't trust men in general and they need to build that confidence back up, yeah, it's very rewarding.
Yeah, it'd be a really gratifying experience to be able to help somebody through their, you know, their challenges around sexuality. Because sexuality is a huge part of everybody's lives, really. And do you find that, like you were saying before, that there's women that they have children and they're disconnected from their sexuality, right, until it gets to a certain point where they reach out to someone like you or do something about it? Do you think that a lot of the clients have just kind of had this disconnection to sexuality?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of my clients, that hasn't been the case. They're just they might have just been single for a while and they want to have these fun experiences. But then there are a good number that put aside their own sexual needs for the sake of their everyone else in their lives, whether it be family, work, whoever else. And it gets to a point where I think they don't even realize that they haven't been fulfilling that need. And once they haven't for a while, it just becomes the norm and they're used to it. And then it's not until years later they suddenly get the urge to do something about it and go exploring again.
Yeah. So with your clients, are they typically sort of, are they regular clients? Do you find that women like to come back and see the same guy over and over, or it's a variety thing, or what, how would you, or is just like you're saying, some of them are once off, but what, do you get a lot of regular clients?
95% of my work is from regular clients.
Oh, wow.
And don't have that many new clients simply because I find I'm very busy with my regular clients. And of course, I'm going to prioritize them over seeing new clients. And anywhere from once every 2 weeks to once every 2 or 3 months would be pretty typical for regular clients. And early on in my career, I was trying to fly around to every different state in Australia to see as many clients as I could. And then after a while, I realized that it was just too much. And I basically didn't have time to do that. So I mainly started going to, I live in Sydney, and then I would travel to Melbourne a couple of times a month. And then I was more than busy enough doing that. So I still do see new clients, but I might only see a few a month. And I find a large percentage of them do turn into regular clients. And I would say most of them only, as far as I'm aware, most of them only see the one escort. There are definitely some out there that like to see several. I don't know if there are many women who are out there just seeing as many male escorts as they can. I think there are some women that like to do that, but in general, I think it's they'll see the one escort, maybe two or three.
Yeah.
But it's usually one at a time. And then if they stop seeing them for whatever reason, then they might go on to see another.
Yeah, those are pretty good odds. 95% of your clients being regular. I wish men were a bit more of the same.
I guess that's partly because there are such few male escorts around in Australia as well. I mean, I don't know the figures of how many female sex workers there are in Australia, but I would hazard a guess and say it's a fraction of a percent of male sex workers seeing women.
Yeah, I think it's just the way that men and women are like wired a little bit differently too, biologically. You know, like men, you know, crave variety a little bit more than women, I find. Maybe, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's my own bias showing there. I don't know.
No, I think that has an element of truth to it.
And you've been in the porn industry for quite some time and you've had a very exciting career. What's some of the highlights of that? You said you've been overseas and all of the things. What's your highlights?
My porn career, I think one of the highlights is definitely when I got to work with Erica Lust in Ex Confessions in Barcelona. I got flown from Budapest to Barcelona and was there for a few days and filmed a couple of scenes over there. And just the fact that I was flown somewhere to film porn and then just put up in a hotel and just everything was taken care of. I was like, you don't need to do anything. You're literally just here to do the scene. And that's it. Everything else is taken care of. Like, we'll feed you and just sit and relax. And then when it comes time to do the scene, that's it. And there was that one time that I filmed some VR porn with, who was it? What was you?
I don't know. Who was it? Yeah, it was fun. I never saw that. You saw it there, right?
I saw it. I was working at Sexpo on the VR porn stand, and we were showing up on the VR porn, so I'd have to put on get it started, like, oh yeah, that's me. After the headset off.
Yeah, I know, I wish I saw that. So with porn, right? So there's always this argument or discussion that porn is negative, bad, all of the things. Like, I obviously don't believe that. I believe that porn is really necessary for, you know, society as a whole. It's just like the lack of education around sex. It kind of skews people's perception. You know, if people are only watching porn, then they've only got one lot of education. That's where they're getting their sexual education, right? What's your views on porn as a negative in society, or how do you see it?
I think some people might place the blame on porn when they should place the blame on other factors. I mean, the simple fact that it's not even about watching porn, like I'm out there making porn and I'm in a situation where women who have been literally abused are comfortable coming to me to help them work through that. So if porn was this such a negative thing, then I feel like the fact that I was taking it one step further past watching it and actually making it, then why would these women be trusting me to come do that? I think it's more about people's attitudes around porn and women in the first place. I think it's more about like how their parents raise them and how they are interacting with other people in school when they're growing up that brings those attitudes. I don't think it's porn that is responsible for these negative things that are happening. I do think it is important to make clear the distinction between fantasy and reality in porn. But anyone, even children with half a brain, I mean, teenage boys are watching porn. They're all watching porn. You, if you find a teenage boy that says he's never watched porn, he's probably lying.
Yeah.
And even as a teenager, you can tell the difference between what's real and what's not and what's okay and what isn't. And just because you see something done in porn doesn't mean, well, I'm going to go and do this in my personal life. You still need to ask if that's okay. And
yeah,
if people are blaming porn for saying that it's giving the impression that you don't have to ask for these things, I just don't think that's true.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's like there just needs to be more talk around sex and what's okay, and so people don't just look to porn for sexual guidance. So you've done interviews, you've had TV interviews and other interviews, right? And whenever you've done an interview, a mainstream interview, it's really, really well received by the public. So people kind of applaud a man for being an escort. Whereas I've done interviews and other like females have done interviews and the reaction is just the polar opposite. You know, people will degrade us and say the most horrible things because of like our job. But you as a male, it's a completely different way that society looks at it. Have you noticed that? Or because I know you're friends with many escorts. So what is your take?
It's hard to directly compare for me because obviously I'm experienced the feedback from the interviews I've done directly, but I can only see what feedback women are getting indirectly.
Yeah.
So I would say I do get a lot of positive feedback, but sometimes there is negative feedback. And I'm sure that's far, far less than what women are getting for doing the same thing. And you're right, I think it is very silly because it's the same job that we're doing at the end of the day. And if anything, in my experience, women tend to do a far better job of running their escorting business as a business. And a lot of men seem to be in it just for to stoke their ego, basically. And I've seen guys who they've got ads up and they're paying. It almost seems like they're paying a monthly fee just to go out to girls in bars and use it as a pickup line. Like, I'm an escort. And
yeah.
A lot of these guys will, behind the scenes, say that they're not getting any work and they need help getting work, but they might have had ads up for months and they're struggling to get bookings, or they do get bookings and the clients aren't coming back. And I feel like as a guy, a lot of your work, at least for me, is from regular clients. That's the vast majority of my work. So I feel like if you're seeing clients and they're not coming back as a guy, when that seems to be a big part of the work, then it's something you're doing. And I've heard stories from clients who have seen other escorts, and they'll say that they've been with them and they just felt like the guys made the experience all about themselves and their own sexual gratification. And so I don't really understand I do understand why there's a double standard, but if anything, I feel like it should be the other way around, because women seem to be far more on the ball when it comes to being a sex worker and doing all that as a business, because it is a business.
Yeah, it's actually a really good point. I hadn't thought of that. And because there's a fair few male escorts actually advertising, but only a handful that I would ever really recommend any females see, because for exactly that, like they don't even have professional photos up half the time. Some of them have, you know, want to see photos of their clients before they take on the booking. And I'm like, that's not what a sex worker is. It's not what a escort is. And how does that affect your business? Because I hadn't actually thought about that.
I mean, I guess in a way it's probably a good thing for my business, but overall,
yeah.
It's not in the grand scheme of things, it's not a good thing. I mean, I've definitely had clients who have seen other escorts and they've had a bad time and then they've come to me. But then at the same time, I'm sure there are plenty of women out there who have gone to see an escort once, have had a bad time and then said, that's it, I'm never seeing an escort again. And you'll never hear about those women because they've probably had such a bad time, they don't really want to share their experiences with anyone. Yeah, so overall, I think it's not a good thing.
Yeah, especially like you're saying before, there's women that are in really delicate, states around their sexuality, and then they'll have these bad experiences with professionals. So it'd be pretty damaging for those women too, I can imagine.
Absolutely.
So you've been in the industry a while now. Well, how many years has it been actually?
I think coming up on 9 years in the industry, since I started working as a topless waiter, 8.5 years, I think, as an escort and then porn.
Wow, that is quite a while. So, you were saying to me earlier that you've just started doing OnlyFans to keep you occupied during lockdown. How's it going?
It's going pretty well so far. I kind of stopped seeking out porn work several years ago, and just because there wasn't much work going around and it wasn't paying very well. And then it seemed that was around the time that doing your own content started taking off. And I never really did that just because I was really busy with all my escort work. And so it didn't make sense to try and have two things going on at once. But then every now and then I'll get asked to do a content trade with girls making their own content. And I would do that. And they would go put their content up wherever they put it up. And I would get the content as well, but I just sat on it. I didn't use it for years. And this lockdown, because I couldn't really do anything else, I finally decided to start doing something with that content. So I started an OnlyFans, and I had, I think, nearly 5 hours worth of videos over the
Oh,
past several years. So I just thought, well, even if I can't film at the moment, I have plenty to keep me going. So I've just been putting those up, and now I'm going to see if I can do more filming going forwards. But it's kind of a, I don't know how to promote this OnlyFans, because when you have this kind of different markets there. So if I'm posting a lot of boy girl porn scenes, that's obviously going to target a lot of, it could be straight men who are just wanting to watch the porn. It could be women, and it could be gay men as well, some of whom are subscribing to just see the porn, but also some are subscribing to see myself. So now I'm trying to work out, do I want to put solo content up as well? Because my worry is that if I put solo content up, if it's the straight men who are the majority of the market who are signing up to see porn with women, they're not going to like seeing solo content myself, so it'll cause them to unsubscribe. So I have this dilemma at the moment.
So, who are your subscribers at the moment, or is it kind of split that much that you can't really pick which one's the stronger one?
It's definitely a mix. So it's, I assume, straight men who are just wanting to watch regular porn. It's some women and it's some gay men. And I even did a poll last week asking, what do you all want to see? Do you just want to see boy girl content only, or do you want to see solo content as well? And it was even for quite a while, and then it ended up, I think, being maybe 60% or 2/3 wanted solo content and 1/3 just wanted boy girl. So it would seem it would be an easy choice to just start putting solo content up as well. But then am I going to lose a third of my subscribers if I did that?
Or you could just put all your solo content as PPV, and then the people that buy it can just buy it, and then you don't lose anybody because then it's not in their face.
I feel like these are the things people think, not OnlyFans, you just take slutty pictures and videos of yourself and put them up and get paid for it. But there's all this,
It's such
what do you do?
hard
Like,
work.
you have to think about your target market and all of that.
Yeah, you really do. And you know what? Every time I've done a poll and then I've given the people exactly what they say they want, no one will buy it. I'm just like, what do you people actually want then? Like, they'll have like 50 people say they want this, so you just do it, and then no one will buy that thing. And I'm like, fuck, man. Just tell me the truth. Just tell me what you want.
You know what? That actually brings up another good point about escorting. Especially when I'm back when I was first starting, a lot of people gave me advice, and a lot of them were women, many of whom were in the industry themselves, saying, I think you should do this because this is what I, as a woman, would want if I was going to book an escort. And some of the time I would follow their advice and it wouldn't lead anywhere. And then eventually I realized that the women who were saying this, I would totally book you if you did X, Y, and Z as an escort, in their mind, they thought that's what they wanted, or that's what women would want, and that they would book someone who was doing that. But the reality is that the people who are actually, the women who are actually making the bookings, that's not what they wanted. So they would say, I think one of the examples was, oh, you should have like a day spa type experience where you're giving like an oil, like a scented bath and a massage and a foot scrub and all these other things. And that in their head, they were living this fantasy of, that would just be so nice, just come in and relax and have a guy take care of you like that. But then the reality was, if a woman wanted to go and have a day spa experience, she'd go to a day spa. If she wanted to go have a massage, she'd go book massage. She wants to see an escort. She's going there for other things. It's not for the day spa experience. It's for these other things. So sometimes when people are answering these polls or telling you what they would want, they're not necessarily the people who are actually going to pay the money.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think they don't even acknowledge it themselves. They're saying, well, I would definitely book you if you did all these things, but a lot of time they won't. And it's hard.
And they're not the ones booking, right? They're not the ones like booking escorts anyway. I've thought about booking male escorts before, and I've messaged a few of them. And then, but their response back, I was just like, this is awful. Like the way that you're speaking to me is like a way a guy would speak to me on Tinder, but worse. And you want me to give you money. Like there was just like, I was just, how could I give you money when I can't even be attracted to you in like the correspondence before I pay you anything? So yeah, but I mean, I haven't given male escorts advice. I don't think.
All bad advice, but it's, you just need to learn to filter through what's applicable and what isn't. And a lot of the advice I did get when I started was from women and seeing how they operated. And a lot of it was, it's the same whether you're a woman or a man working as an escort. A lot of it is the same, but then a lot of it is different. And it's just trying to work out what is the same and what's different and then learning from that.
Yeah, I think that there would definitely be a lot of similarities. I mean, I think fundamentally everybody needs connection and intimacy, you know, touch and sexuality like in their lives. So that's a basic need that like translates between male and female. But the way that they book, I think, would be different. I think men are probably a lot more visual. And, you know, there's just a heap of different things that I can imagine be different between why a female would book and why a male would book. So for females that are thinking about booking an escort, because I get a lot of women asking me questions about this in my Instagram, actually, always asking, who would I recommend? I would recommend you. I do recommend you, by the way. And, you know, just other random questions. What would you say to these women that are thinking about booking? Like, is there anything that it just annoys you when someone messages you and, you know, you're like, I wish they just thought about this a bit more? Like mine is men for PSC. They want PSC. I'm like, what do you want in a porn star experience? And like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, do you want this? No, I don't want that. Or like, I want everything. And I'm like, just tell me what you want.
I think a lot of women aren't exactly sure what they want, or if they are, they either don't know how or aren't comfortable putting it in words, unless it's something really specific, like a certain BDSM acts or whatever, which I don't really do that much of anyway. I generally don't ask what they're looking for in terms of the sexual aspect. It's if they want to go out to dinner, then what restaurant, what hotel are we meeting at? Besides that, I just let things run naturally and see what happens. If there's anything specific that they're after, I might ask. And if they say they want me to bring a flogger or they want me to bring a rope or some handcuffs or something, I can do that. In terms of advice for when they're looking to book an escort, I think the number one thing to do is for women to do their research. Just seeing an ad by itself can be enough, but it's often a good idea to read through their reviews if they have them, but not take them as gospel, because reviews can and are faked by some people. To have a look at their social media and see how they conduct themselves on their social media, because sometimes there are profiles of guys out there who they might have a fantastic looking profile, great pictures and everything, and you look at their social media and they come across as not a very nice person, and they're not even trying to hide it. And if you're getting any concerns about how someone might act based on what you can see of them online, then I don't think you should be booking them, basically. But I think it's a good idea to just do some research and see what this person is all about before you go about contacting them. And then when you do, though, I feel like you don't have to know exactly how the process works, because for a lot of women booking an escort, it's their first time doing it. But you should be expected to ask general questions like the what date and time do you want? Where do you want to go? How long for? Are you going out for dinner? Are you staying in? If it is your first time being intimate with someone for a long time, you can put that in there as well. And you don't have to go into full-blown detail, but just a little bit of detail about your history can be a good idea if that's why you want to see someone. But I think a good sex worker should be able to guide someone through that process. And if you're ready to answer all those questions, then it should be quite a smooth experience.
Yeah, I agree. Do you have because I was just thinking, are a lot of your dates, are they longer bookings usually? Do you get many hourly, just like 1 hour new clients, or would you always recommend a little bit longer for a first meet with a new client?
I kind of have it's kind of a semi-official 2-hour minimum booking time.
Yeah.
And I just find that's a lot better to help the woman with, to relax and find out what she's there for. And it's just a nicer time all around. You don't have to rush as much. But yeah, a lot of my bookings are dinner date bookings. So 4 hours, and we'll spend 2 hours out at dinner and then 2 hours back at the hotel. And then overnights, weekends away, even weeks away. So a lot of my work is going on trips with regular clients. And that's where I've been to the dozen or so countries around the world. I've been all around Australia. Even this year, I made it to Broome in Western Australia. I made it down, I was in Broome for a week. I made it to the Mornington Peninsula for a week. I went to Brisbane for 5 days, and I was supposed to go to New Zealand in November, but that doesn't look like it's
happening. Oh, that sounds so good. I love longer bookings, but yeah, I think you definitely do a lot longer bookings than I do, just as all around. Mine are usually like weekends away at the most, sometimes 4 days, but yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Ryan. I will put your links in the information for the episode. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lana.